One of my favorite subjects is family living. And I have often said that if we're going to get anywhere in our country, as far as building stable, friendly, happy, well-adjusted people, it's going to be if we get at their parents. I, as a counselor, am convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that the two most important people in a child's life is their mother and their father. So that makes a difference what you do and who you are and what you are and how you treat each other. Who are the warm, friendly, tender-hearted, compassionate people here? Or you turn it around the other way, who are the old crabs that are here? The cold, selfish people. Crabby people look like happy people, out in company anyway. But you know who you are, and you know what you're like, and you know whether or not you need to stop and examine yourself. Now, I know that there are many people, psychologists, sociologists, there are many things that you can read that will tell you that you are a victim of your background, and therefore you shouldn't be responsible for what you are today. And there are many people that say to me, I'm a bitter, hostile, self-centered individual because when I was a kid, I got buttoned up wrong. Well, I don't believe that. I am a representative of Campus Crusade for Christ and also Scripture Press Foundation. And these two organizations are representatives of Jesus Christ. And we believe that there is the possibility that any man who will open his heart and invite Jesus Christ into his life has access to the grace and the joy and the peace and the tenderness and the gentleness and the kindness that any of us need in order to get along with each other. It is not true that you are a victim of your background. And it is not true that because you have had an unfortunate background that you have tied God's hands or that the power of God is useless to you. That is not true. God can help you today. There's hope there, isn't there? Whosoever will can come to Him. Now, one of the features of being married, I think, is that it will reveal what you're like. Won't it? One of the features about being a parent is that it keeps you up to date on what kind of a person you are. I remember once when our children were in their, they were preschoolers. I was a student in college. And we had the privilege of entertaining the president of the college, mind you, at our house. As students. And I'll tell you, we went into plenty of preparation. My wife had that house looking like it had never, ever looked before. Everything was in place, and we were supposed to act like it's always like this. We told our little preschool kids what they could say and what they couldn't say. We practically wrote them a script. We found out that you can't do that. But anyway, the time came for the president to come, and we got him to the table all right. And we, of course, became absorbed in seeing to it that he was comfortable and listening to what he had to say. And our little daughter, Sue, who could hardly talk, was sitting next to the president. And that was a mistake. It's interesting how many mistakes you can make when you try to put up a front. And you see, the trouble was that this was the first time through for all of us. Well, anyway, she was sitting next to the president. In her little bitty voice, she said to him, "Would you pass the salt?" Well, nobody paid any attention to her. We were listening to the president. And so she tried it again. "Would you pass the salt?" And, of course, she didn't get through. So finally, she pulled him on the sleeve. And she looked up at him. And she said, "Will you pass the salt or I'll knock your block off?" Hold on. I have been telling that story all over the country. And the thing that puzzles me about that story is that everybody thinks it's funny. And I can't understand why I didn't think it was. Do you know, I was so mad at that little kid. The most palatable idea to me at that point was to take that little kid like that. Did you ever feel like choking your children? The point I'm trying to make is that family living will reveal your spirit. There have been times in my relationship to my wife when I could have beat the daylights out of her. Have you ever felt that way? On the other hand, aren't you glad that there's another side? On the other hand, through marriage. I remember one time one of our daughters, little Beth, little preschool child, was very ill. And she was losing weight and losing weight. And the doctor came and diagnosed it as virus pneumonia. Now, in those days, and this will date me, there was nothing they could do for virus pneumonia. The only thing that you could do was to hospitalize your child and wait. I had no idea how tender I could feel toward a child. And do you know that that experience drew my wife and me closer together than any experience I think that I can look back upon? The depths of the emotion and the tenderness and the compassion that can be stimulated through the events of family living. I have worked harder and dreamed greater dreams and felt warmer and more tender and more compassionate as a result of my marital relationship than any other relationship that I know about. Now, I'm trying to make the point that marriage will make it very clear that a man and a woman has two sides to him. There's that kindly side, and there's that terrible side. And your marriage will reveal the fact that human relations, close human relations, reveal a terrible side that prevails. And that forces us apart. And many of us have said, what can we do? We got married on the premise that we loved each other. We enjoyed our presence so much. Our intention was to live happily ever after. And now look where we're at. We can hardly stand each other. One young man, handsome, successful, highly trained engineer, and his lovely wife come to me. They had only been married a few months, and they got married on this premise. My, we're having such wonderful fellowship with one another. Why, I can't wait to see you. When I think about you, this was in their courting days, when I think about you, I just thrill and tingle all over. Won't life be great? He used to go and call on her. He was a very punctual fellow. When he said he was going to be there at 8, he meant 8:00. But when he got there, she was inevitably late. And he'd sit there and fume, waiting for her. But then she'd come down the steps, and boy, she looked pretty. And she got a little closer, and he took her by the hand, and wow, he tingled all over just to hold her by the hand. And she smelled so nice, and he forgot all about the fact that he was just the second before sitting there and sputtering because she was late. And occasionally he would even say to her, "Honey, are you going to be late like this after we're married?" And she would look up at him. You know how they do? And she would say, "Honey, wouldn't you love me if I was late?" Well, when she put it that way, he said to her, "Honey, I would love you no matter what you did." Boy, what a wild statement that was. But that's the way you talk, isn't it, when you're courting? "Honey, I'd love you no matter what you did." And he would drag her to some of the sporting events that he liked, and she didn't particularly like sporting events. She was more interested in the arts, but she put up with it. She'd correct that, she said in the back of her mind, after they're married. And so they were married. And here's our punctual fellow. You know, he would set the alarm, and he'd bound out of bed in the morning and into the bathroom and ready for breakfast. And where was his wife? She was in bed. You see, she had her own schedule, and he wasn't that much of a hurry. And he'd say, "Come on, come on, come on, get up. Aren't you going to make my breakfast? Well, you can get something down at the donut shop." Or they'd get ready to go out somewhere, and he'd push her. And do you know what they said about themselves during their courtship days? They would say to themselves, "We're a perfect match. I'm punctual," he would say to himself, "and she's late, and so we'll balance each other." Yeah, you all know better, don't you? And that sounds pretty reasonable when you're dating, doesn't it? See, he liked sports and she liked the arts, and they'd balance it out after they were married. So he'd push her. He would be going someplace at night. "Come on, come on." And the more he pushed, the more she started to buck. And this balancing force that they talked about became for him annoying pokiness. And for her, it became nagging. And so a coldness began to develop between them. Some of you familiar with that? "He doesn't understand me." "She doesn't care." Well, things became pretty bad. It got to the point where they didn't even talk to each other sometimes. And this was the fellow, mind you, who would tingle all over just to think about her. And when they saw each other, they'd melt into each other's arms, and now it got to the point where he couldn't hardly stand to touch her or she him. These are the same two people that were going to stimulate all of this tenderness and kindness and gentleness in each other. They discovered that a person doesn't do it, and marriage doesn't change you a bit. That's what they discovered, and you know that too, don't you? One night he was lying there, frustrated, woke up, and he heard something that he thought he'd never in his life hear. It didn't even dawn on him. There his wife was laying there. you were snoring. That's the first time in his life that it ever dawned on him that a woman would snore. What a disgusting sight. Imagine looking at a woman with her mouth open, snoring, and on top of it, you're mad at her. And he'll let her have it with his elbow. This was the beautiful marriage that they were dreaming about. And so they came to me, and these people who couldn't wait to be married, who had this lovely home, and all of the prospects of a happy life, had gotten to the point where that house wasn't big enough for the two of them. First, they couldn't get close enough, and now the house wasn't big enough for the two of them. Now, why do I bring this up? Because all of us have faced that very thing, that marriage will reveal your spirit. Now, there's many a man who said, if my wife would change, that's what he said, if my wife would become more punctual, then all these fine qualities would come out of me. Isn't that an interesting kind of logic? My wife is bottling me up. I'm a nice man, sir. And if only she would change. He isn't either a nice man. He is a self-centered, demanding man who, when he's crossed, he's going to get mad. It was that way before he ever met her, and it isn't any different now. That man had to face the fact that he's not a nice man. He's a hostile man who has to have his own way. Or else, I'm going to be nasty. That's the kind of man he is. Now, that was pretty hard for him to take, but that's the truth he had to face, and that's the truth that you have to face. You are responsible, sir, for your own spirit. And your wife didn't cause you to be what you are, whether you're tender-hearted or hostile. It's not your wife that did it. Isn't it true that you are what you were before you married her? And here's this lovely lady, but a cold lady. What could be more difficult to live with, I'd like to know, than a beautiful, gorgeous, well-dressed lady who's cold and can't be touched? I can't think of a more difficult, tantalizing, impossible situation than that. And yet there is many a woman, cold and haughty and self-centered, who spends a lot of time and a lot of money making herself look desirable, and she's utterly unavailable. You couldn't make a man suffer any more than that. This woman was beautiful, that's true. But her heart was selfish and hostile. And there's only one thing that was wrong with these two people that hindered them from having a happy marriage. She had to have things her own way, or else she was going to be nasty. He had to have things his own way, or else he was going to be nasty. And the only thing that happens in any relationship is that sooner or later, two self-centered people are going to be on a collision course, right? Now, young people are drawn together, young red-blooded fellow. He wakes up to the fact that skin against skin is a very pleasant experience. And he just loves to take his girl into his arms and kiss her and express his affection toward her. He loves it. It is a pleasant experience, isn't it? So does she. She's enjoying it. I say she's enjoying it because she likes this, and he is enjoying it because he likes this, and these two people can be drawn together on the basis of mutual self-centeredness. What I like happens to coincide with what you like. But it's a coincidence. He isn't giving anything to her. He's satisfying himself. She isn't giving anything to him. She is satisfying herself. And they're drawn together on the basis of mutual selfishness. You can't build a marriage on the basis of mutual selfishness. And this is the basic fundamental issue that anybody in this room has to face. Your wife didn't make you self-centered. She only reveals it in you. Your husband did not make you self-centered. He only reveals it in you. And one of the good things about marriage is that you cannot deny the truth about yourself. And that's what I say. My relationship to my wife made it very clear that I wasn't the nice man that I promised her I would be. It's not that I wasn't willing to be, I couldn't be. I didn't have it, and she didn't have it. And then some of us would say to ourselves, I must have married the wrong one. My husband doesn't stimulate this tenderness in me. I must be exposed to the wrong man. My wife doesn't stimulate this tenderness in me. I must have made a mistake. I guess what I have to look for is another woman. I've got to find a man or a woman who is going to change me. And yet the scriptures tell us that all of us normally and naturally are born with a bent toward evil. And our hearts need to be changed. And it isn't human love. It's God's love that's going to make the difference. Why do you react in a negative way toward your husband if you do? Simply because you haven't got anything else to offer him. Now, it isn't him. Oh, certainly, you can be attracted physically to another man. That's another thing that many of us have found out, isn't it? That when you get married, the other sex is not blotted out. They're still there. And yes, certainly, you can respond physically to another person. Why, some of us men, we can tingle over a pretty woman on a billboard. You'll never, ever meet her. Why do they have a great big tractor tire on a billboard, and in the middle of a tractor tire is a pretty woman? Why, these fellows that write the ads, they know that we don't get too excited about tractor tires. They sure know how to catch our eye, don't they? And they figure that if we notice that lady, we might notice the tractor tire. Now, the point I'm trying to make is that it's perfectly normal to respond physically to another person. But that's not love. That's not tenderness. That's not affection. That's a simple physical response. Now, some of us have asked ourselves, what is the answer? My children make me so mad I can't stand them. I thought parenthood was going to be such a wonderful experience. Oh, I was so glad when I was pregnant. And I was dreaming about this dear, sweet, little, innocent child, Soft skin and pink and blue and ribbons and talcum powder. And then it came. And it smells. And it's got a reversible stock. And it yells. And I can remember taking that squalling baby of ours and saying to my wife, "You take it, you did it." And we discover that these wonderful maternal instincts that we thought we had aren't there. I would like to call your attention to a verse of Scripture. And I believe that it is on this verse of Scripture, which proposition is the foundation upon which you're going to build a wholesome family life. 1 Corinthians 1:10. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, in the name of the Lord Jesus, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, and that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Does that describe your marriage? Let me read it again. I beseech you, brethren, in the name of the Lord Jesus, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Not much room for individuality there, is there? And it's a pretty difficult thing, isn't it, for two people to walk together. I just read an impossible standard to you. You can't do it. Now, what a dilemma is this? I just got through saying to you that this is the foundation upon which you're going to build a wholesome relationship, and then I turn around and say you can't do it. And there's a reason why you can't do it. And you can find that reason in the Scriptures, too. Isaiah 56:3. A built-in, normal, natural tendency in any man. He says, all we, like sheep, have gone astray. And we have gone every man unto his own way. Isn't that true? Isn't it true that the most beautiful music to your ears is to say, let's do it my way? And sooner or later in your relationship, the two of you are going to clash. And after everything that could be said about a subject has been said, you're on one side of it and your partner's on the other side of it. I remember one time my wife and I decided that we were going to buy a record player, a stereophonic record player. We didn't have any trouble deciding that. And then we went shopping, and we found out that you could buy one for $70. But you could also buy one for $700. And my wife was on one end of the scale, and I was on the other. That's quite a gap. Now, how do you get together? Well, they say one way to do it is to talk it over. Understand each other. Understanding, that's the important thing. My, how many people do I have come to the consulting room and say, I don't understand why we don't get along. We can talk anything over. Well, that's what we did. We decided we'll talk it over. So I prepared my little brief and she did hers. And her turn was first. And do you know her preparation was so poorly organized? And it was vague, and it was illogical. And then it was my turn. And my presentation was clear and distinct and obvious. Anybody could understand it. Do you know that she didn't get it? After everything that could be said about that subject was said, she still was over here. Think of it. It's the way they are. Do you know where I was? Right there. It's the way we are. Well, what else do you do? Well, they say, talk it over with other people. You know, little group discussions. Discuss these things. So we talked it over with our friends. Did you know what the result was? We knew what they thought now. Where did that get us? No place. We were as far apart as ever. Now the time comes in any marriage. Isn't this true? That after everything that could be said has been said, you're still not in agreement. And it points up the fact that every man tends to want to go his own way. I have sat down with my wife, and I'm sure that you have too, where we have discussed a thing, we were in disagreement over it, and we would compromise. Yeah, but we would make an agreement, but it was a compromise. And over the weeks and over the months, I would drift toward the way I used to do it before, and she would drift toward the way she used to do it before. We tend to go astray. We tend to break our agreements. We tend to do the thing the way we want to, don't we? And this is a built-in barrier that makes it difficult for anybody to have a happy relationship with anybody else if your paths crisscross, especially as it does in marriage. Now, you know what the rest of that verse says? The Lord hath laid on him, on Jesus Christ, the iniquity of us all. What is the iniquity of us all? It's the tendency to want to do it your own way. And if I can't have it my way, I don't even want to be happy. I've had a lady say to me, "No, I'm not happy. I'm nervous, and I want my husband to know it." What an ambition. If he doesn't realize that I'm unhappy, I'm going to make it clear to him. Can't you see I'm miserable? And a man says, "What can I do to make you happy?" And a lady says, "Oh, I can tell you." Did you ever try to get along on the basis of trying to keep your wife happy? It doesn't work, does it? Give him his own way and you'll be all right. There's no end to the demands he'll make if you're trying to get along on a basis of keeping him happy. Same way with her. And it's the same way with your children too, isn't it? We want our own way. This is the iniquity of us all. And if you are the kind of a wife who has to have her own way or you can't be satisfied, if you're the kind of a husband and you have to have your own way or you won't be satisfied, before you can chart a course where the two of you can agree, you're going to have to correct that tendency within you. Isn't it true that you tend to veer away from the agreements that you made and the promises? Oh, one of the wails that you hear in a consulting room is, "But he promised." My, I've made some of the wildest promises. And you have too. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. You need a change of heart. That's where you begin. Do you need a change of heart? The important, one of the most important things you'll do to build a happy home is to recognize this tendency toward self-centeredness. And you'll not just say, all right, I'm going to cut it out. We need to be saved from ourselves. And this is why we at Campus Crusade for Christ go about recommending that you invite Jesus Christ into your life, because He will change your heart. That's why I like to be identified with Scripture Press Foundation, because they print the things that will point people to Jesus Christ. Now, my objective is simply to make a single point. Did you get it? I wonder if you did. What was the point? You need a change of heart if you're going to build a happy marriage, and only God can change your heart through His Son, Jesus Christ. And then you'll have the equipment that will make it possible for you to build the kind of a relationship where you and your partner have the same judgment and you are of the same mind. There's nothing as wonderful as being with someone and your hearts beat together. Your goals and your objectives are the same.